Move by Mamma Mia is the exercise app for anybody, anywhere. And in case you missed it, we dropped a brand new stretching collection that can be used to improve mobility and bookend your favourite sweat sessions. Mamma Mia subscribers get unlimited access to Move, and we drop new workouts every single week. If you're on the hunt for movement that makes you feel good, head to move.mamamia.com.au and use the code MOVE10 to get $10 off a yearly subscription. From Mamma Mia, hi, I'm Claire Murphy. Welcome to The Quickie, getting you up to speed daily. We heard something pretty shocking this past weekend. A group is claiming that after the recent bushfire devastation across the country, koalas are now functionally extinct.
Basically, it just means that a koala in this landscape now, if it had a baby, will it have a baby or will the next one have a baby? I really believe that now that these losses are so great, I just think there's not even any animals to have that baby in the first place.
So is that true? Have we lost one of our most beloved and iconic Australian marsupials from the wild? Today, we look into what it means to be functionally extinct and whether we have the opportunity to bring our little grey eucalyptus-loving mates back from the brink.
Mamma Mia subscribers, you've been asking and we've been listening. Now, you can get all of your exclusive subscriber audio on Apple Podcasts. That includes everything from bonus episodes of your favourite pods to exclusive segments to all of our audio series.
To link your Mamma Mia subscription to Apple Podcasts, open the Mamma Mia Out Loud page in your Apple Podcasts app and follow the prompts or head to help.mamamia.com.au.
Australia is currently in the grip of record-breaking drought and an unprecedented bushfire season.
As we go to air tonight, New South Wales is in the grip of a major bushfire emergency.
A catastrophic warning in place with a fire danger the city has never seen.
In recent weeks, hundreds of fires have raged across vast areas of Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia and Western Australia, taking lives, destroying homes and leaving our fire crews stretched thin and exhausted. But amongst all this devastation, a claim was made about another of the fire's victims, Australia's wild koala population. Deborah Tabart, chairperson of the Australian Koala Foundation, said the koala is now functionally extinct.
So around about 1992, we identified how to make a koala habitat atlas, and we have now spent $15 million on that, actually measuring 100,000 individual trees. And in 2018, we finished mapping the whole east coast of Australia. When we did that, we identified and ranked vegetation. So primary habitat is like a five-star meal for koalas, and secondary A, secondary B, and habitat is like a coffee shop where they're only just able to get a coffee. And so then we look at how many koalas we see in different quality of habitat, and then we assess those numbers. And what is most disturbing is that a lot of habitat in Australia is already empty. In Western New South Wales, we have funded research where declines went from like 50,000 koalas down to maybe 10. In Southeast Queensland, I've seen 50,000 koalas go down to less than 1,000. So apart from the science, I've spent 30 years of my life driving this bush, meeting with the community, funding science, reading the science, and making that map. 80% of Australia's forests have been destroyed over 200 years. But I just got the figures this morning. The amount of land that has burnt in New South Wales is now 1,650,000 hectares, which is gobsmacking. I don't think anyone's going to be able to comprehend that for quite some time.
And how many koalas do you think have been lost in that massive amount of burnt area?
Well, 350 koalas, you know, because the Port Macquarie staff are saying that. Some people said that the Braemar Forest probably lost 700. So those two people I trust, so there's maybe 1,000. But if you, and I will actually ask our scientists to give me figures over the coming weeks, but I think we're going to be talking thousands of koalas, and not to mention all the other species. The koala habitat of Australia, which is 20% of our continent, is home to millions of other species, insects, butterflies, snakes, birds, reptiles. So if you protect the koala forest, you protect so many other things. everyone knows that there's been huge suffering. And the fact that only 31 koalas have come into the hospital in Port Macquarie says that most of those animals have probably died.
The statement went viral, with news services across the globe and here at home asking the question, have we lost our iconic animal from the wild? Have we wiped out the marsupial from our landscape? Dr. Christine Adams-Hosking is an honorary research fellow at the University of Queensland and has researched the effects of climate change on the distribution of the koala and its food resources. So, Dr. Hosking, what does it actually mean to be functionally extinct? And in your expert opinion, do you believe that's what's happening right now?
So functionally extinct means that the koalas can no longer reproduce. So their numbers have become so low that they cannot mate and continue to thrive. It can also be the case in a small population where they are reproducing, but their genetic health has become very compromised due to those small numbers. So there's inbreeding depression and a lot of issues, even if they are breeding. So that's pretty much what functionally extinct is. And I think one of the problems with the reports going around at the moment is that it's impossible to put a broad brush statement across all the koalas in Australia because they cover an enormous range. So it's very difficult to quantify over such a large area.
Do we actually know how big the Australian koala population is?
No, we don't. Some colleagues and I did an expert elicitation about 4 years ago, and we pulled together the opinions of about 17 experts from throughout that range. And we sat down in a four-day workshop and basically swapped our experiences and our knowledge where we had it. But there were still a lot of gaps because we have mountains and, you know, huge expanses where koalas have never even been surveyed. So we just came up with areas that we had studied and pulled our knowledge and came up with amalgamated averages for each bioregion in Australia. So they, again, really varied, but the broad estimate we came up with was between 120 to 300,000, but it was a very wide range because there's so much unknown.
So what we're saying is that population estimate of 300,000, that is not functionally extinct, but that little area that was affected by bushfires, the areas in New South Wales, for example, there would be smaller communities of koalas that have become functionally extinct in that particular area.
Exactly. What it's going to need now is several years of monitoring, and we're just going to have to look at those burnt areas. We're going to map how much habitat was burnt, where we have knowledge of koalas, and we're going to have to see whether they recolonise. Koalas can return within 6 months after fire because those lovely new shoots of gum leaves they like. So that'll give us an initial idea if they're being monitored. And in certain pockets, I'm sure there will be a lot of interest now from carer groups and local researchers. If nothing's happening and that goes on for a couple of years, then it's pretty concerning. We know that there's been a wide expanse of koalas that have been wiped out, but it's really too early to know.
Your area of expertise is having a look at koala populations and the effect of climate change. Is loss of habitat the biggest issue facing koalas at this point in time? And is climate change playing a big part of that?
So the answer is yes and yes. Loss of habitat remains the largest key threat, without a doubt, to koalas, as it is for many native animals. And climate change is definitely having an effect, not just from bushfires, but simply the extended drought and heat waves we've been experiencing have wiped out koalas by as much as 80%. And if you interview farmers out west, they'll say 30 years ago, we had koalas everywhere. Now they're so scarce. And the feeling is that that's definitely just due to the koala is not coping with so much heat for such long periods, these new extremes we're getting where you get 10 days in a row over 43 degrees. Now, the koalas never had to deal with that before. And then on top of that, the trees themselves are dehydrating, so they're not getting the moisture they need from the leaves. And a lot of forests are even just dying. A lot of eucalypt trees are just dying because of the lack of water. And then if you come further east, of course, the land clearing for urbanisation continues. So habitat loss and then climate change is sitting over the top now, adding another layer of threat.
Looking at the country as it sits right now and the direction that we're moving in, could we lose koalas from the wild in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Do we have any idea how long they can keep going under the conditions they're experiencing right now?
Yeah, I think around 2050, it's looking pretty grim. They are resilient. They will hang on for as long as they can. But I think by 2050, if we haven't done something in terms of looking after them, restoring their habitat, stopping the land clearing both in agricultural areas as well as in urban areas, if we don't take some measures to really start to protect and expand their habitat again and create refugia for them where maybe better weather conditions despite climate change, if we don't take those measures, if we don't start to put the environment first, assuming climate change continues at the rate it's going right now, then I think by 2050, it's possible they'll be gone.
There's no doubt that we love our koalas. The GoFundMe page set up for the Port Macquarie Koala Hospital, who are taking in dozens of animals suffering with burns and other injuries from these recent fires, including poor little Ellenborough Lewis, the koala who went viral on the weekend when his rescuer took the shirt off her own back to pull him from the flames, but who sadly had to be put to sleep on Tuesday when his injuries became too much.
His burns were so extensive. We knew when he came in, we were very guarded about his prognosis because his burns were showing very deep signs. And it got to the stage where the treatment was going to be so unpleasant that his quality of life would not have been very good. So we just decided it was time to let him go.
That was Sue Ashton from the Koala Hospital. They'd initially set a target of $25,000. At the time of this podcast going to air, they've raised over $1.6 million. The organisers saying they'll use the money to extend the number of drinking stations across a wider area and establish a wild koala breeding program.
I find that very humbling. I think it just shows how important koalas are to the community in general. You know, it's just overwhelming.
We love them. We want to save them. But with climate change and the devastating weather events that come with it, we may be forcing them out of existence. And while they may not be functionally extinct just yet, that doesn't mean they're out of the woods either.
The only thing that's going to work is the Koala Protection Act, because it basically says you can't cut the trees down. So a developer who says, I want to build this, should have the right to do that, provided they meet the laws of our land. So what they have to do is say, I have koala habitat on my land, I will then do the right thing and build my development in and around it. And that can be done because we worked with a developer in 1994 to build Koala Beach, and that is possible. So that model is there. But I'm afraid to say that most industries just want to flatten everything, build what they like, and then go, I wish the koalas were here because we'd make more money.
Ellie Beattie is the executive producer of The Quickie. Audio production by Ian Camilleri. And a big thank you to Chrissy Ann, who left a 5-star review on iTunes on our episode on PMDD. She wrote, I've finally been diagnosed with PMDD this year after 10 years of suffering. It's a life-stealing disease that leaves you empty and isolated. It makes you question every thought and feeling. Thanks for talking about PMDD and making women aware of this disease. I'm sure there are many women having an aha moment after listening to this. Thanks, Chrissy Ann. If you want to listen to that or any of our other now more than 200 episodes, you can head to mamamia.com.au/thequickie.